This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Morning Run, 7:49, Monday, the 29th of August. And as the weekend just passed, I think all of us were confused with the many political conventions that were happening or political yes. party meetings, because there was a high for political activity as several major factions of the political landscape had their briefings and events with their own supporters. UMNO held a special briefing at its headquarters, which saw most of its members show their support for Datuk Sri Najib Razak. Calls for GE15 rang loudly as party president Datuk Sri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi had to stop his speech midway as the floor grew rowdy with calls to dissolve parliament.
Interestingly, Prime Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri, who is an UMNO vice president, did not attend the meeting, though he attended a special Supreme Council meeting later that night. Now, meanwhile, PKR held its G15 convention, which saw party president Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim assuring members that the party is ready for elections, and Vice President Rafizi Ramli saying that candidates for the upcoming elections will be announced next month. Perikatan Nasional also had its inaugural convention, though it showed that the coalition is still undecided about whether to go solo or form alliances.
So for some thoughts on these events, we have on the line with us Ibrahim Sofian, Program Director at Merdeka Centre. Good morning, Ben. Always good to speak to you. Let's start with UMNO first, okay? Because it's throwing its full weight, or appears to be throwing its full weight, behind Dato' Sri Najib, even though the highest court in the country has already convicted him. Can you tell us, was this meeting the bulk of UMNO? Is it reflective of what really UMNO thinks?
Hey, thanks for having me on. So I think the meeting that we saw in PWTC on Saturday is in some ways a reflection of what the rank and file UMNO members feel. So even though Najib, Razak and a whole slew of other issues were perhaps reasons why they lost the 2018 general elections, the fact is he remains a very popular figure within the party, in part because during his tenure as prime minister, he presided over the commencement of cash transfer programs and also massive infrastructure projects, which I think we know how some of it has ended. But anyways, he remains a very powerful figure within the party. And even after he has been convicted, in 2020, and then underwent the appeals process, he remains the main campaigner for Barisan Nasional, and he presided over the campaign in Sabah, in Malacca, in Johor. And so in many ways, he rallied the party faithful to continue to support the party. But I think in and of itself, Najib himself is a very divisive figure. And by promoting him, actually the party is challenging convention, in the sense that by marshalling support from the hardcore base, they might alienate or repel undecided or new voters that are coming into the electoral roll.
So powerful but divisive finger. And I guess the question here is, a PM was asked whether election was coming soon. He said, tunggu, tunggu, tunggu. How long can he wait?
But I think the Prime Minister ultimately has to abide by the calls or the decision made by the Party Central Committee. And so I think the Party Central Committee, has the view that we get, at least from media reports and from some party insiders, is that the insistence is to have early elections. Whereas I think the body language and the reading between the lines, the Prime Minister is more intent to have it a bit later. So we don't fully comprehend the motivation. We can only speculate at that. But I think the motivation for the party to call early elections stems from the fact that they know that their actual base of support from the Malaysian electorate has not increased, and that they need to cash the election early before the opposition begins to attempt to consolidate and begin to address differences and work together. Because if Pakatan Harapan and Perikatan Nasional were to find ways to work together, that could spell another disaster for Barisan Nasional.
Okay, we will ask you when GE15 is going to likely take place. But before that, let's talk about the opposition, because you highlighted that that perhaps maybe with time they can get themselves organised. Do you think that they really are? Because that's what Dato' Sri Anwar said over the weekend, right? That they're prepared and that candidates will actually be announced next month.
Yeah, well, I mean, most political parties will claim that they are ready to face elections. But, you know, elections are just more than just campaign slogans and meetings to rally the party faithful. Mm. Elections in Malaysia is a very costly affair, one that, you know, consumes millions of ringgit. Then I think when it goes to the nuts and bolts of an election, I doubt, you know, most parties are ready to face elections, with the exception of perhaps Barisan Nasional and perhaps the DAP. And PKR has just undergone through a very bruising party election as well. And I'm not sure whether the wounds and the issues that emanated from the party election has really healed. So, you know, it's one thing to put a brave front to the public, but the reality is that PKR, you know, based on its outing in Malacca and Johor, as well as in Sabah and Sarawak, you know, I think is looking at another uphill battle in this general election, because the reality is they lost half the Malay support. So the people that were with Bersatu are now all with Perikatan Nasional. And what we saw in Johor was their Malay support has halved. The turnout of the party faithful has come down as well. So even if they can address some of these issues, they are going to find GE15 very, very challenging.
What do you think their campaign issue will be for GE15, for PH and even for PKR? I mean, is it going to go back to that 1MDB, which is... Unfortunately, you know, the court cases are now just starting to be heard? Or are they going to new theme, a new rallying cry?
Well, I think, you know, given what UMNO has tried to push this weekend, and if the UMNO party leadership is successful in persuading the Prime Minister to dissolve early, I think the narrative is going to be about the court cluster and the whole issue of governance. We can see that, you know, PH, particularly PKR, has started campaigning about the literal combat ships scandal and going about on those topics. So it's going to be perhaps, you know, UMNO's insistence to protect its controversial leaders and at the same time look at the issues of corruption again in government. Other issues related to the economy and recovery, perhaps even environmental topics and living wages, probably going to be second or third down the tier in terms of what the campaigners are most comfortable in talking about.
So, Ibrahim, who is the winner? Who are the winners and losers for multi-cornered fights?
Well, you know, in Malaysia, it's really hard to tell. You know, I was caught wrong back in 2018 because we thought that with multi-corner fights, our opposition would be at a disadvantage. I think when we look into the details of the numbers, it all depends on the proportions of the votes that you have each party can gain. At this point in time, the proportions, you know, sort of favour Barisan Nasional because, A, they have a loyal base that can turn out, and we've seen them come out in Johor and Malacca. B, they continue to have fairly strong grassroots networks that can get information out and also have a very strong communication strategy that can drive narratives, particularly into the Malay electorate. C, the opposition's ability to mobilize people is somewhat dampened, partly because of the you know, the voter lethargy that we are seeing. A lot of voters feel that, you know, if you go to election, it probably wouldn't change very much. So we've seen turnouts drop off. So at this point in time, if they are able to increase the turnout among their supporters, maybe the opposition can stem any kind of decline. Hmm. But at this point, we think that a split in the opposition votes will give advantage to Barisan Nasional, notwithstanding the controversial nature of wanting to defend Najib. And notwithstanding that perhaps there are leaders within UMNO top management that actually disagrees with that view. But I think the Barisan Nasional stands to benefit from the split in the opposition.
So Ben, when will GE15 take place?
Well, I think, you know, there are a couple of windows for which this can happen. If the Prime Minister has to relent to the pressure of the party, then I think, you know, the parliament may be dissolved soon after, the budget is tabled, because now we know that the budget will be tabled on October 7th. Mm. So we might, you know, have an earliest window for elections sometime in November, maybe second half of November, perhaps. That's one speculation. If the Prime Minister is able to withstand pressure from the party leadership and then therefore have the budget debated and passed in Parliament, then we might see election dates slide into perhaps at the end of first quarter next year before Ramadan, or even take place after, you know, the Hari Raya festivities in May.
Okay.
So there are three possible windows.
All right. Thank you for your time. That was Ibrahim Sufyan, Program Director at Merdeka Centre, telling us there are three windows for the elections. And really, I think a lot of money is on the possibility of elections in November, especially after Friday's announcement that the budget will be held on October 7th. Because it was supposed to be October 28th, but really it's anyone's guess, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, what's, I think, very clear now is just this budget is likely going to be a populist budget.
Again.
I don't think we can
Which
expect,
budget isn't a populist budget?
Well, this one in particular will be, because, you know, the hope was that if they call it sooner, then of course they'll exert some fiscal discipline, but that's very unlikely, isn't it, in this scenario?
Sadly, we need someone to be a grown-up when it comes to the economy, because our fiscal headroom is very, very limited, and these targeted subsidies need to be implemented ASAP because of the $77 billion bill that we have to face. But you're right, Philip. Who's going to want to make that decision today?
I think it will be hard. Yeah, I think it's going to be very hard. I mean, you're going to see all this need to appease, you know, people, because a lot of people are struggling and they need the money.
It is true. So. It is true. But somebody needs to also manage the economy in a prudent manner, right? Well, we'll be watching this space. Up next, the 8 a.m. news bulletin, followed by the Breakfast Grill, where I speak to the managing director of Sam Aden Group Berhad. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.